Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell in peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
There is one body and one spirit.
There is one Lord, all of us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let us pray. Grant, O most merciful God, that your church, being gathered by your Holy Spirit into one, may show forth your power among all peoples, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Une lecture du chapitre d'Amos. Malheureux ceux qui ont fondé leur tranquillité sur Sion et ceux qui ont mis leur sécurité dans la montagne de Samarie. Allongés sur les lits d'ivoire, vautrés sur leurs divans, ils se régalent de jeunes béliers et de veaux choisis dans les étables. Ils improvisent au son de la harpe, chantant comme David leur propre cadence, buvant du vin dans des coupes et se parfumant à l'huile des pères prémices. Mais ils ne ressentent aucun tourment pour la ruine de Joseph. C'est pourquoi, maintenant, ils vont être déportés en tête des déportés et finit la confrérie des avachis. Écoutez ce que dit l'Esprit à l'Église.
Hallelujah. reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
May God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of Christ.
I speak to you in the name of God, our Creator and lover of all. Amen. I set myself the challenge of preaching a sermon that was to children and then incidentally to also all of you. And things unfold as they do. It looks like they've let me off the hook because that was going to be really hard to tell a children's story and speak to all of you. They'll come when they come, and in a moment we will be having the baptism. But I would like to start with a story, since Jesus told a story. When I go on a long car trip, sometimes what I'll do is I'll put a song on my app and then let the algorithm pick other songs that go with it. I don't know if you ever do that, but sometimes you get a surprise of a song you've never heard before. And so there was a song that came on, and it was an African-American spiritual with the singer warming everyone up, and there was enthusiastic praise in the crowd, and she says, "Would you like me to tell you a story?" And they all reply, yes, and they applaud. And so she says, "I'm going to tell you the first story I ever heard. Once there were 3 little pigs. And everyone reacted very positively. They remembered the story just like you do. And she tells it in its blood-curdling version, I had to figure out, you know, what to do with this story if the children were here, because there are several versions of this story. So, you know, there is a pig who built a house of straw, a pig who built a house of wood, a pig who built a house of stone. Well, in an early version, which the singer told, the wolf eats the first pig from the straw house, the wolf eats the second pig from the wooden house. There is another version where that wolf then tries to go down the chimney and the pig cooks up the wolf, which means he's also eating his pig brothers because they're inside the wolf's belly. So, you know, it's a grisly kind of story if you really think about it. But this singer, Dorothy Norwood, says, that third pig watched what happened to the other two pigs. And then she goes off into this humorous tangent. He must have had the Holy Goat. And everyone knows she meant Holy Ghost, but she said goat anyway. Because he decided he needed a solid foundation. You can just imagine, I can't do the African-American spiritual sound of that, but you can picture that word, foundation, like it's down there, it's supporting all of us. And that this pig had built a house of stone because it was a solid foundation. Now there's another gospel, you know, the house on the rock and the house on the sand, where she's referencing, and she says, if Christ is your solid foundation, you can lose your job, but you're still standing on it. Your car could break down, but you're going to be all right because you're still standing on it. And she goes through all the things. You have to imagine who was in that audience. People who, you know, a car breaking down would be a true disaster. All kinds of people hearing this and resonating with, they need that solid foundation. And it breaks out into raucous applause at the end. And I'm always listening for the last thing she says, which is drowned out almost by the applause. If you're not on that solid foundation, you're in quicksand, she says. So there's that house on the rock, house on the sand. And I was thinking about this story because Jesus' story that he's just told is quite grisly. Abraham, Father Abraham, and this brutal justice of the man who's lived a rich life and now is in torment. And the poor man who nobody helps and now has it nice and easy. And there may be an element of, you know, where we feel a visceral kind of satisfaction when the people who are horrible get what they, I don't know, deserve. And the people who have had a hard time get relief. But we might take too much from the story if we decide based on it that it actually is Father Abraham looking down, and that it is Hades down there. You know, that's a very specific picture. So I bet no one left Dorothy Norwood's concert and said, I wondered if there are really three pigs, or if they're just fictional. Jesus incorporated a fictional story that people would have known in his time, and he twisted it to one particular element of Jesus' foundation, which is that we care about those who are around us and who have needs. That we care about that. That we not be blind to it in our abundance and joy of having abundance. You know, very consistent with being a church on this corner in this city, that we not be blind, that we see, that we do something. Now, all three of our readings kind of converge on the same theme. That's kind of the beauty of the lectionary sometimes. They all reference the possibility that our wealth would make us blind. They all call us to notice. But I wanted to say, baptism is kind of a foundation. So going with Dorothy Norwood's spiritual, how is the baptism going to be the foundation for us? I'm going to look to Paul's first letter to Timothy, where it ends, take hold of the life that really is life. Timothy is not a reading that that comes up and often in our lectionary, so I'm going to guess maybe it feels like the first time as you hear it read today. Maybe it feels unfamiliar. And it did for me too, but then something happened. When I was ordained as a priest, I had to plan the service for that, and including choosing the readings. So I got a list of readings from the bishop, and it was in the church where I was serving, and I thought, well, I don't know what to pick. So that particular church had a midweek service. It was lots of seniors, and they would do a tea and coffee visit after the service. So I brought this list of readings to this group of people, and I said, what should I choose? And they all said that this reading from Paul's letter to Timothy, where he says, but as for you, man of God, shun all this, pursue righteousness. Now, I kind of wish that our inclusive New Revised Standard Version of the Bible had said, but as for you, child of God, because that would have felt like it was addressed to all of us, you know? And I hope you do feel it as addressed to all of us. This reading cautions us about wealth. It says also that we're to pursue something called godliness. I've never even used that word in a sentence before. Do you know what godliness is? If you try and read it in this passage from the context of what's written, it seems that godliness is being conscientiously close to what we believe God is about. And so it lists a few qualities: faith, love, endurance, gentleness, that we try to be close to what God is about. So we're going to be close to Olivia as we remind ourselves that what God is about is this gentleness. Let go of Father Abraham. Let go of that. It's a story designed to get us to think about those who have needs, but in the end, to lift everybody up, to say everyone is a child of God and wonderful, and you too are a child of God and wonderful. So prepare your hearts to help us say this to Olivia. Amen.
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 We stand before you in gratitude that you have given us this day, that we draw breath, for first you breathed into us, that you who made the heavens and the sea have turned your face to us, have taken an interest in us, and counted us among your people. Lord, this world turns on your covenant with your people, and you have promised us peace and contentment should we walk in your way. We thank you. Hear our prayers as we sing.
We're not doing the singing?
Hear our prayers. Lord God, accept our thanks for your word. You sent your prophets into this world that we might heed their warnings and take shelter in your promises. You have laid out the path for us. You call to us. You love us and long for us. You promise to watch over the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. Lord, too often we have fallen prey to the senseless and harmful desire to be rich, to store up the wealth of this world. Your gospel is clear. You cannot serve two masters. Spare us, Lord, the path of exile and ruin. Lord God, hear our prayer. Lord God, we are grateful for your mercy and guidance. Search our hearts, Lord. You know the fears, the hurts, the burdens each of us carries. Grant us all the wisdom to navigate the path you have laid out for us. Teach us righteousness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, and awaken in us the joy you have chosen for us. Lord, the frailty of humankind cannot but fall without you. Show us your gentleness and teach us to shun the ruinous desires, the trust in princes, and keep our hearts in the way of godliness. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord God, we praise you that you are a God of justice, a God who sets the prisoners free, liberates the oppressed, and gives food to the hungry. To you, Lord, this world is like the parched and dry ground, crying out for the soothing rain. God, make us instruments of your will. Empower us to be your hands and feet. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Peace, to love and serve the Lord.